Thanks, Chad. My name's Christine, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Christine.
So I'm the backup plan. So it's an honor to be here and to speak. And you know, like Chad said, I've known Chad for quite some time, and he's such a power of example. And can everybody hear me? And you know, service is a big part of my life now. So. Anyways, all the best to you, Chad, and thank you. So I'm here to share with you a little bit of what it was like and what happened and what it's like now in my life. And I can guarantee that 2 years ago, I wouldn't be standing here in front of any of you. And, you know, I don't even know if I'd actually be here. And AA has essentially saved my life, and I'm so grateful for these rooms, and I'm so grateful for any newcomers and anybody coming back and anybody that's here, because without all of your help, you know, I wouldn't have been able to achieve all this. So, so I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in Montreal in December 64. So I recently turned 50, and so for me, it took me quite a few years to find these rooms, and that's too bad, because I look at some new people that are here, and I'm like, oh my God, good for you for, you know, realizing that you had a problem, because I never knew what my problem was. I never knew. I know that growing up, you know, I had two parents that were from Germany, and they came to Canada in search of a better life for happiness, and they didn't find it, unfortunately. And my parents divorced at a young age. I was three, and for whatever reason, my mother's anger and resentment was turned on me. And I know at a young age, I always felt different, or like I never fit in. And I was always searching for something. There was always this perpetual quest that I was on, and I never knew what it was. And I kind of know now that what I was looking for was love. But it took me a long time to just figure out things. So, you know, as I'm growing up, I'm kind of being shaped and molded, and I didn't realize that, you know, with how things were at home. It was a pretty dysfunctional house. My mother, you know, was never there, and I had older brothers, and I kind of just did my own thing. And, you know, I didn't realize that I was always alone. I was always alone, and I felt like a loner. But I always, you know, kind of did my own thing, and I always seemed to find trouble, though. I don't know. It's like it followed me around. But, so... Growing up, I, you know, like I said, I was never comfortable in my own skin. I never seemed to get along with anybody, and that changed, though, when I got to high school, and when I was about 12 years old is when I found alcohol, and I was in high school, and, you know, it was everything that I thought I was looking for at the time, and I was playing basketball at the time, and, you know, hanging with people that were like me. And my main focus, though, every time I drank, was to get drunk. And I didn't understand that. One of my sponsors said to me, well, Christine, your allergy kicked in right away. And I was, I'll get around to what the allergy is, but I didn't understand that. That was that I always had this feeling I always needed more. And I didn't really know at the time. I just, you know, it was to drink, to get drunk, to drink more than the guys, and to fit in. So I went through high school like that, and, you know, it became my friend, and it was always there for me, and I always thought it was filling some kind of void in me. And, you know, unfortunately, with my addiction, I always put it first, and I put everything else second. And so I had an opportunity to go further in basketball, and I had a chance to go, you know, and I threw it away. And you know, I had a chance to do some modeling, and I always put my addictions ahead of it. And so I threw away opportunities because alcohol was always the most important thing in my life. And, you know, I didn't know what the problem was, though. I didn't know. I was very confused growing up. I had no social skills. I didn't know how to get along with women. I didn't know how to get along with guys. I didn't know. So, you know, the drink was always there for me. And I tried a couple of those geographical moves. I thought, you know, if I move to Los Angeles or Toronto, I'll be with different people, you know, trying different things, and, you know, everything would be fine. But unfortunately, I always have to take me with me. And, you know, I always had to be looking good on the outside, but I was a mess on the inside. So for me, you know, drinking it was there. It progressively got worse, like it says in the big book. You know, it started off just being social drinking, and it became daily. And I thought I was doing okay, though, because like it says in the big book, I had, you know, my job and my car and, you know, my house and everything. But I didn't think it was affecting anybody else, you know. My husband was pointing it out to me, and, you know, my kids are grown. They're, you know, in their 20s, and, you know, they didn't want anything to do with me anymore. And they said, you know, why bother telling you anything, Mom? You're not going to remember. So I was having blackouts, and I just didn't know. I just didn't know what the problem was. Like I said, I was so confused, and I didn't think I was hurting anybody. It's just, you know, this is what I do, and it makes me feel better. But little did I know, my life was starting to fall apart. And it was about 4 years ago, you know, my husband was about to leave me. Financially, I had drained us. You know, there was no money in the bank account. Our credit cards were, you know, maxed out. And I didn't see anything wrong with it. You know, it was always about that next drink. Where am I going to get that next drink? And, you know, I actually tried to control it. I tried to do controlled drinking. So, you know, my husband would say, so Christine, after two, okay, two tonight, you know, you need to stop. So the first one, you know, would go down pretty fast. And the second one, I could feel I was starting to panic. And the anxiety was building up in me. And it's like, I couldn't do it. I was a mess. And then once I drank that one, you know, I couldn't even engage in conversation. I was so in my head. And until I came to AA, you know, I didn't know that alcohol was actually the problem. And I always thought it was the solution. And, you know, it was explained to me in such a way when I first came in that, you know, about the doctor's opinion, and you hear about the allergy. And I didn't get it, though. I'm like, well, I don't sneeze, or I don't get hives, or, you know, I don't get it. And it was suggested to get a sponsor and, you know, get active, and I didn't do it. So I stayed in for about 6 months, and then, you know, I went back out to try some more controlled drinking. And, you know, and it says in the big book, it never gets better. It always gets worse. And it was okay at first, but, you know, it got bad real quick. So, you know, what happened was when I came back in, and I actually had the courage to come back in, I actually did what was suggested. So, you know, it is a program of recovery. And when you take it seriously, and when I decided to take it seriously, it changed my life. And I can't explain, you know, how, you know, hitting another bottom actually, you know, you hear about the willingness and that open-mindedness, and that I need to be willing to go to any lengths. And so I actually started listening, and actually did my 90 and 90. But, you know, meetings alone won't keep you sober, and it didn't keep me sober. So, like, it kept me sober, but it wouldn't, it, it, I was still that restless, irritable discontent that you read about all the time, and that until I reach for that drink, that ease and comfort that I'm always looking for, you know, I'm in the spiritual malady. I'm just restless. Like, I just don't know what to do. And so I came in to AA and I started working the steps. And so, you know, I started listening, like I said, and I started to understand step one. And step one, you know, that I'm powerless, and I didn't get that either, I didn't understand, but it was explained to me that I didn't have the power to stop drinking, and my kids didn't have the power, and my husband didn't have the power, and I didn't, I certainly didn't. So it had to come from somewhere else, and, you know, that my life was unmanageable, and it's like, it was. I didn't see it, but it was, because I couldn't, you know, I'd make appointments, and I wouldn't make it on time, or I'd forget about them, or I wasn't there, I wasn't a friend, I wasn't a mother, like, I couldn't pay bills, I was just so, you know, dysfunctional, and so that's my unmanageability. So that's the problem, though, and I understand that. So step one is the problem, but there's always a solution. There's always a solution, and that's what the steps have taught me, is that there's always a solution, and that's every facet of my life now, that there's always a solution. So, you know, if you know, your shoelace breaks, you go buy a new shoelace. You know, like, there's always a solution. If you fall down and hurt yourself, you go get a Band-Aid. Like, you don't just sit there. Or your TV breaks. You know, there's a lot of guys in the room here. So if your big screen TV breaks, you don't sit there going, ooh, you know, you go get it fixed. So, so I'm trying to relate here. A lot of guys, a lot of young guys here, which is great. So, you know, and so step two, three is, you know, that, you know, believing in something bigger than ourselves and willing to turn our life over to that, whatever it is. And that G word didn't sit right with me in the beginning. And so for me, it started just with everybody in the room. It started, you know, listening and the love and, you know, just hanging on to all of you and your experiences and you teaching me that, you know, if you know, I'm thinking, this is a lot of power in this room. So, you know, it started with that. And one, two, and three are our foundation. And it's very important that we get one, two, three in order to do the rest of the steps. So one, two, three is admitting we have power. We're powerless, but we need some kind of power in us. And in the big book, in, you know, page 25, it says, you know, where our higher power is, and it's in our heart. So I can't tell you who it is, but I can tell you where it is. And it's just a matter of tapping in to that higher power that, you know, that gives us spirituality. And, you know, I look at it like plugging your cell phone in every day. If you don't plug in your cell phone, it's not going to work. So if we don't plug into something every day, which is our spirituality, you know, we don't have that inside of us either, and I definitely don't. So, you know, I was okay with turning my will and my life over, because it's like, well, I tried it Christine's way, and that didn't work, so let's try it a different way. So I was willing to do that. And so step one, two, three is our foundation, and four, you know, which is kind of scary. You know, step four, everybody talks about that. You know, it's now I'm looking at me. So when I blamed everybody in the world for all my problems, I blamed my husband, my dog, you know, my kids, and it's like, so I'm pointing the finger, and there's actually three pointing back at me. And so, you know, I start doing step four, and step four was explained to me in such a way that I actually understood it. My recent sponsor explains things very crystal clear, and so there's no confusion. And so step four is, you know, on resentments, and it's like, I could have 1,000 resentments on my husband, you know, but, you know, it's not him and who's the problem, it's actually me, and I never knew that. So when you do your step four, when I did my step four, I have my husband, I have my dad for leaving, I have my mom for abusing me, you know, and yeah, they hurt me, and what did it affect? You know, my self-esteem. And then, you know, where was I selfish, dishonest, frightened, or, you know, self-seeking? And what was my part in it? So I was selfish because my father left, you know, because he abandoned me. How dare he? But this is where I see what my behavior and my character defects are. And I never saw that. You know, step four for me was eye-opening, because I never thought I was the problem. And apparently I am. So, as my sponsor says, I am the problem. So, you know, it was eye-opening. So what for me the steps taught me was, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 all went together. So 4 is where, you know, I had to get it out and write it on paper. 5 was sharing it. So God already knows, I know, and it's just about sharing it with another human being, somebody we trust, you know, it's getting it out. It's just like when you're talking with somebody about something, it's like you feel so good just talking with somebody. And, you know, I didn't realize that, but think about when you're actually cleaning stuff out so you can let that light in. And, you know, so you share that and with another human being, and then you see what your defects are, and that's where 6 and 7 come in, and you just say, God, help me. You know, apparently I'm very, you know, I was dishonest, I was untrustworthy, I was avoidant, I didn't communicate, you know, I lied. And all these things were blatant. And it's not about beating myself up, though. It was more just, it was clarity. And so it's about changing my behavior. And that's what the steps is all, like, they're all about. It's having that spiritual awakening that changes who we were. And, you know, I did a lot of chaotic things, you know, in my drinking, and, you know, I had problems with the law, and, you know, neighbors, and, you know, I had all, you know, that people talk about, you know, I had that stuff, but I own it, and I own it, you know. I wasn't a very nice person, but I can change, and the pendulum has to swing in order for me, you know, to do that. And so what happens then is, you know, I see what my behaviors are, and you know, it comes across into 8 and 9, and I need to make my amends to people. And the first person I had to make amends to was me. And, you know, that's tough sometimes, because, you know, I can love all of you, no problem. But, you know, I couldn't love me. And I hated me. You know, I hated everything I did. I hated everything I did to people in my life. So the first thing I had to do was make amends to me, and I couldn't go any further. And so once I did that, you know, I could make amends to other people. And it's, you know, it's only though if it doesn't harm them or harm others. So, you know, there was, you know, issues with other guys in my life. Well, I don't go seeking them out to make amends to them. You know, if I happen to bump into somebody in the grocery line, then I say I'm sorry for all that. But I don't go seeking them out because it's going to hurt my husband. And, you know, I didn't understand that. I thought, well, I have to make amends to everybody that I hurt. And it doesn't work like that for me, you know. And it makes sense. It makes sense because I'm not trying to rekindle anything. And, you know, on my fears, you know, I had so many fears. I came in here fearful. But I was afraid of failure, afraid of people, afraid. I was afraid of food. You know, I had an eating disorder, and it's like, for me, my addictions though were, you know, yeah, I had, you know, problems with booze. But you know what? It's just a shelf in front of me, and when I had my kids, you know, I shelved the alcohol, and up came my eating disorder. You know, and I hear that from other people. It's like whatever that more pleasure that brings us, you know, we go to that, and it's because it's but a symptom. It's actually, we need to, you know, I had to find out what was inside me that was bothering me. And so once I stopped drinking, though, you know, I no longer have that allergy. And in the big book, it talks about, in the doctor's opinion, that I have a problem with my mind and a problem with my body. So when I stop drinking, that allergy doesn't kick in anymore. So what's left? It's my thinking. You know, and I know that, you know, I can be in 1999 or 2023 in a second, and, you know, full of worry, and, you know, so the steps teach me to live in the moment, and to really be grateful for what I have today. And the most important moment of my day right now is standing here in front of all of you and sharing with you. And, you know, this program has taught me to live. And, you know, it's taught me, you know, public speaking. It's taught me respect and love for others. It's taught me so much. And, you know, my life is so different now. And why is it different? It's because I've done the steps. And I've done the work. And I get it now. And it was explained to me. It's like, you know, an analogy again. More also for the guys, I guess. It's like going to the gym. And this is like the gym, and all you do is say hi, 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 you know, make friends, but you never pick up a weight. You're not going to get the results. So for me, it was like, you know, I had to do the steps, and I had to do the steps 1 to 12. It wasn't, you know, 1, kind of 2, 3, maybe 6, 9, you know, and pick and choose. And it's like I had to do 1 to 12. And it's changed my life. And my greatest gift today is step 12, and that's helping others. And, you know, like I said, a couple of years ago, I would never have sponsees or, you know, be helping anybody or going to the hospital and sitting with a friend because I was the most selfish person in the world. It was all about me and all about my next drink. And I was never there for anybody. And, you know, and that was okay. And I always wondered why my world was getting so small and I didn't want to be here anymore. And I have purpose now. You know, I have friends all over the world. My sponsor lives in Vancouver. And, you know, he teaches me things every single day, every single day. And it's amazing. You know, I have friends now in San Francisco, Colorado, Montreal, you know, and my world just keeps getting bigger. And AA for me has just been connect the dots. It's like I may meet one person and they'll connect me to somebody and I'll never see that person again, but they'll help me either get a job or, you know, help me learn something else. And God is very predominant in my life now, and God speaks to me through people. And so I listen to what everybody has to say to me. And I learn. And everybody has a story. And everybody has a beautiful story. And I'm eager to listen to anybody and give that anybody a chance because, you know, people gave me a chance when I came in. And, you know, when I didn't think I was worthy of anything. And, you know, I don't really know what else to say, but it's just so important for any newcomers to just please stay and give yourself a chance. And, you know, life can change for you when you do the steps. And, you know, sometimes it sounds so cheesy and, you know, some of the lingo that you hear and, you know, but it truly does work. And, you know, I've done the steps, but I don't just do them. I live them now. And it's slowly coming to be more natural to me. It's something like somebody said, you know, about playing the guitar. You kind of learn to play the guitar, and you're kind of clunky at first. And then after a while, your fingers just know where to go. And that's like doing the steps. You know, I know when I'm wrong, and I correct it right away. And, you know, I read page 86 every day in the morning and at night, and it's about preparing me for my day. And how did I do every day, you know, when I retire at night? Was I selfish, self-seeking, and dishonest? Is there something I need to share with somebody? You know, because I need to put my head down on the pillow at night and sleep. And I don't want to go back to my old behaviors because I know I've been there. When I first came in, I stopped doing meetings and I start regressing and start going back to my old behaviors. So, you know, like the step 9 promises have really come true for me. And but you know, they can go back too if I don't keep working the program and doing the steps. So thanks again, Chad, for having me, and everybody, happy 24. Thank you.
So Christine might have been my backup, but I truly believe it happened for a reason. I've heard Christine speak before, and you know, you're making analogies for the guys and stuff like that, but every